Welcome to the Confessions Podcast. I'm Cindy Wagman.
And I'm Jess Campbell. We're two former in-house nonprofit pros turned coaches and consultants to purpose-driven organizations.
After years of building up our separate six-figure businesses from scratch, we've thrown a lot of spaghetti at the wall and have lived to see what sticks.
We're on a mission to help other nonprofit coaches and consultants looking to start or scale their own businesses past the six-figure mark by pulling back the curtain.
Whether you're still working inside a nonprofit and thinking of one day going out on your own, or you've been running your consulting business for years, you understand that working with nonprofits is just different. We're giving you access to the business leaders who serve nonprofits as their clients. You know, the people who truly get it.
No more gatekeeping, no more secrets. This podcast is going to give you an inside look at what running a successful nonprofit coaching and consulting business looks like. Basically, we're asking people how much money they make, how they get paid, and what has and hasn't worked in their businesses.
Listen in as these leaders share their insights, their numbers, and the good, the bad, and the ugly when it comes to building a nonprofit coaching or consulting business. We're going to empower you to make the power moves that give you the income and freedom you set out to create from day one.
You ready? Let's go.
Hey everyone, it's Cindy. And before we get into today's episode, I wanted to come and share with you something. Jess doesn't even know I'm doing this, but she is hosting a conference for consultants this February in California called Make It Happen Live. And I'm so excited to be there. I can't wait to meet everyone who's going to go. And so I thought, you know what? Jess is so busy with work these days. I would take this opportunity to let you know about it. February 28th and 29th, although come early on February 27th, there's some fun stuff happening too. So if you haven't already signed up to Make It Happen, join us. It is going to be so much fun and transformative for your business. Seriously, every time I get together with other consultants, I feel like things just get elevated to a whole new level. So the link is in the show notes, and I hope to see you there. So I'm super, I know I say this all the time, but today's podcast guest.
No, like
guest,
you messaged me last night saying how excited you
are. I'm so excited about this one because our guest today is like synonymous with auctions. So when I was working in a number of years ago, working with an organization that was putting on an event, we were looking for someone to host the auction, like an auctioneer. And our guest today, Lane, the auctionista, was like the only person, like literally synonymous with like, you need an auctioneer in Toronto, you go to the auctionista. So yes, amazing. I am just so in awe of their business and that sort of like penetration of mind space or market share of like owning that.
Yeah.
So I'm super excited to dive into this conversation today.
Amazing. Yes. Welcome to the show.
Welcome, Lane.
Hey, thank you. Great to be here today. Thanks so much. I'm excited to talk.
I'm so excited. Like I said, I cannot think of anyone in our sector who has become so synonymous or like quintessential of what they do. So yeah. Tell us a little bit about your business.
Well, Lane the Auctionista has been around for about 14 years now. It was a midlife career change, an absolute turnaround. But what I specialize in is live fundraising. And you say auctions, but I look at what I do a little bit differently. I have been coined as a philanthrotainer. So taking the power of philanthropy, combining that with entertainment and raising busloads and busloads of money for charities via a fund a need, donation ask, also a live auction. And I consult on event revenue strategy. I'm also a professional show host and keynote speaker. So, yeah.
Okay. Amazing.
It's a parade of trades. It's a parade of trades, kids.
It is. And I want to dive right in to this idea of entertainment, because I talk about infotainment a lot, specifically as it's related to email. I feel like most of the nonprofit service providers I meet are not quite on that train. And so I'm curious, Lane, if you could talk about like why entertainment? What does that do for your business? How does that get people to remember you? How does that help you market your business? Does that do anything for just the pleasure and enjoyment you get out of your own business? Like, why entertainment? And then I have more questions about how you do that.
Right. So it just boils to that's part of my personality. If I had to stand behind a podium and read from a teleprompter, that is so not me. Ever since I was a little kid, I was always the ham of the class, and I've always been that individual that wants to, you know, make people laugh, make people smile, give them joy. So I don't know how to do my work any other way than that. I want to give my guests, my gala guests, an incredible experience, and that is not standing on a stage calling bids. That is getting down and dirty, getting into the audience, kissing heads, shaking babies' hands. No, the other way around. Shaking hands, kissing babies, you know, and truly interacting with folks. Because what happens is folks then become very relaxed. They become engaged. And that's when some wild fundraising moments can happen. And that's what it's all about for me.
Oh, so good. And I don't even know if you know, I've met you in person, I think once a couple of years ago. And that is so true of meeting you. Like, you are the same on stage as you are in person, as you are on the podcast. And that's why I think it works so well. Okay. I have questions that are not related to entertainment, but Jess, I want to give you an opportunity to finish that thought process. So you go first.
Well, yeah. I mean, I guess what I'm wondering is just how would you encourage other nonprofit service providers to think about entertainment as a part of their business, whether they're a grant writer, whether they focus on operations or finance. I do that through a lot of storytelling, and that's my effort. I also will try to take what's happening in pop culture and I'll turn them into memes, or I'll try and record a TikTok trend or something, but I know that that's not for everyone. And so I guess I'm curious as to what your definition of entertainment is. Like, is that synonymous with comedy, or is that something else? And I'm just really curious how you could encourage other people to entertain within their own business, even if they're not an auctioneer.
All right. Well, you know, what you may not know is that I am a former director of development, and I was a frontline fundraiser for several years, I guess. And my persona has never changed. So when I'm face to face with donors, I do Lane. And what Lane does is connect with people. I am also have a sales background. So one of the things that I have always it put in the forefront when I'm communicating with folks is understanding their personality type. I'm sure you've heard of that, you know, the gold, blue, orange, green. You have to know who you are speaking to and how they take in information. So I think that is a big piece of it as well. I also think I'm skilled at making people feel really relaxed. And when people are relaxed, they settle in, and then there's the beginning of trust building that happens with that, right? So, you know, when I think about the days when I was frontline fundraiser and going on donor coffee meetings, I started with an interview. It's not about me. It's all about them. And I'd say, hey, you know, I understand you work for X and X. How'd you get into that business? How long have you been doing that? So I think, you know, I think folks sometimes expect they're going to get pitched. And then when you don't receive that and you're having a different type of conversation, I think that kind of opens up for more conversation and more freedom of speech too. So, you know, I think that's kind of how I look at it. I don't think that I've ever sat down and pitch somebody unless they've said, Lane, you've got 30 seconds for a pitch. I want to get to know the person I'm working with. And that goes with my clients as well. It's got to feel good for me, because it does. If it doesn't, it will never feel good.
I was just coaching a group of people around this, like, forget the sales pitch, just connect with people, right? The rest will come. So, so, so important to remember. I feel like actually that piece a lot of people are forgetting right now in their business.
Well, that's because, and yeah. let me just go to a place where if you start feeling desperate about your cash flow, your revenue, if you are in a mindset of desperation and concern and worry, that's when you go to the sales pitch. And people can sense that. They can totally sense that. And they run.
Yeah. And what I love about you is that that authenticity and personality is what makes people so attracted to working with you, right? Like, that is how you get your clients, and that's how you help them be successful with raising money, right? It all is full circle, which is so powerful, because again, you get to just show up and be you and be curious and connect with people. Okay. I want to ask about working events, because when I tried to work with you a number of years ago, you were booked out well in advance. Tell us about your work schedule and how many nights a week do you work? How do you decide what to do and what not to do? Because I can't picture that. Like, it's so outside of my experience. So tell us a little bit about what your time in your business looks like.
Well, first of all, let me say that performing fills my cup. I think I might turn into somebody like, I don't know who a good example is, but, you know, maybe Nana Mouskouri at age 89 still needs to be on stage singing. There is something that happens for me when I'm in my green room and I got start changing into the Lane gear, and I hit the stage. There is this empowerment of and flow and wave of philanthropy that simply sends chills up my spine. And being in the middle of that, and, you know, being sort of that maestro on stage, inspiring and motivating people to give, and watching that total rise and folks on their feet and everyone excited, it fills my soul bucket. So for me, you know, my schedule is very unusual, and I like that. You know, I had a bit of a difficulty when I was working the 9 to 5, because truthfully, I went into my ED's office, you know, the week I started at a particular charity, and I said, so listen, here's how it's going to have to go. I'm going to show up at 9. But I'm certainly not really going to do much until 10:30. I'll do the team huddle. I'll do all that stuff and be the team player. But there's going to be no activity with me until 10:30, because my brain simply doesn't start moving until about that time. And so what I love about my business and my schedule is that as much as folks think that I'm, you know, on the run all the time, and I am, I do have flexibility. I have the flexibility within my schedule to say I don't take meetings before 11. You know, Monday afternoons are my rebound days. So when I'm on the road Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, or flying from conference to conference, I have become very, very good at giving myself rebound time and fitting in the rest, especially as I age, because now I'm 61. I'm a full-fledged senior. And so I want to make sure that I keep my brain, my body, and my excitement levels up. I look at my business as a relationship, as an intimate relationship. And I want to feel happy and in love with it every single day. So I'm ensure that I take the actions that I need to make sure that that happens for me. So my schedule is nuts. And those of folks that are in the fundraising gala season is September, October, November. And then we really start ramping up February, March, April, and May. So those are my crazy busy months. And there's a lot of events in there, a lot. And then May, June, July, August are, you know, time for vacation, time to regroup, time to, you know, work on infrastructure within the business. And so I am so accustomed to being on the road. And for me, it's very normal. And, you know, I never want to get to the point where I'm like Madonna or Beyonce, where it's like, you know, tonight I'm in Boston, next it's Minnesota. It's, I, you know, not knowing what town you're in, what city you're in, but you're always singing the same concert. I don't want that to happen to me. So I like variation, and I love the fact that I do consulting with my clients. So those are my desk days, usually Tuesdays, Wednesdays, probably Mondays, get all my meetings done. And then I do not take any meetings on gala days. I'm fully focused on prep, making sure I'm rested and my hair looks on fleek and I'm ready to go.
First of all, I mean, I know this is a podcast, but Lane, you're going to have to drop that skincare routine because there's no way you are 61. That is like impossible. So I just have to say that for anyone who is curious. Because I'm curious. I'm like, what's the secret?
Okay. So part of it could be genetic for sure. I truly believe that the reason I, you know, present the way that I do it is because I love my job. I love what I have created for myself as a human being, my schedule, the people I surround myself with, the work that I do. It's all of those things. I don't feel the struggle of drama. I don't have that. Do I have clients that can be challenging at times? Yes, of course. But it's not a daily grind, you know, for me at all.
Yeah, that makes a huge difference. I also love that you said that you carve in that recovery time. That is so critical. I remember in grad school, I met a gal who was from Martha's Vineyard, which is a ginormous, like,
we know what Martha's Vineyard is.
well, I'm from California, so that's like really far and wasn't familiar to me until I moved to the East Coast.
Right.
And so she told me that from like Labor Day or Memorial Day to Labor Day, she worked like 15-hour days every single day, 7 days a week. And then she didn't work the rest of the year. And I remember thinking to myself, like, what could I do that? And would I want to do that? Cause that's kind of how it sounds like for you. Like you go hard for your seasons and then you recover hard. And that seems to work for you and you've blocked it in.
Yes. But I also have blocked out most Mondays, you know? So if I've been gigging, you know, I leave myself that Sunday and that Monday to just completely unwind and decompress. I do need that because I think the other piece is that the work that I do is it's highly stimulating. You are in a, you know, you're in a gala situation. There's hundreds and hundreds, sometimes 1,000 people. The din is not a din. The noise level is very high. So there's a lot of stimulation coming. And I think post-COVID, that has become even more apparent. And I see that actually affecting a lot of folks. We didn't really have that before. It was like, yeah, we're all here. And like, yeah. And, you know, fist bumps and mosh pits and all of that. And I see that even in our gala goers now, our guests, they're done and dusted by 9:30. It's like, get me out of here. We've done our job. Let's get our work done. Let's have a dinner. And we've got to go. Folks are very the stamina is not back completely, the overstimulation piece. And I live in that. That is my zone, right?
Yeah.
So
for sure,
I need
for sure.
the space. I need the space. As much as I love people, I need to not people as well, right?
Totally valid. So I want to switch directions a little bit and ask you, who would you consider to be your ideal customer? And how do you find them? Or how do they find you?
Right. So my ideal customer, number one, is working with a fundraising team that's collaborative. number one, because as much as I am a consultant and I'm working with them on developing their on-site fundraising, we can't do this with a one-sided approach. So I like to work with folks that are open to ideas. I like to work with folks that communicate well and often and stick to deadlines. I mean, this is the perfect world and it doesn't happen. But if we don't set deadlines, we'll be working till midnight the night before the event. I work with small, mediums, and nationals organizations. So there is room for everyone in my roster. So that's the other thing. But, you know, in terms of sector, it really doesn't matter. I have fundraised for every single sector imaginable, but I like to get really involved with my clients. I like to understand their mission more than just understand it. So working collaboratively for months out from the event, I truly understand their language. I get involved with the staff, with the volunteers, and I feel like I'm part of the team. I need that. Because as much as I am totally focused on fundraising success for them, I look through the lens of the fundraiser. I understand who is in the room. They are VIPs, they're champions, they're donors. Every name that I say out loud will be pronounced correctly. Everyone who needs to be recognized will be. I will get up and cozy with the people I need to. I can have a conversation with a board member about the cause in the VIP lounge. That's what's important for me, that we are in this together. So, and the other piece is I want to ensure my success on stage as well, which then translates into the charity's fundraising success.
Okay, that leads perfectly to my next question, which is like business development or finding clients. I feel like, again, you were in demand. So do you do any business development type activities? How many of your clients are repeat that you don't even like have to worry? Because when you look at event-based work, it's so project-based that I think it's terrifying for a lot of people. So tell us a little bit about that cycle. How far in advance are you booked out? What do you ever have a time when you have a shortage of clients? What happens?
I have been incredibly blessed, or let me say, I am very grateful that I've really never marketed. My business development has all been through word of mouth and somebody seeing it. Me at this event, this event, this event. So, you know, and I think the results also speak for themselves, right? I think I have a very strong track record of being a business person with integrity that brings tremendous value to the table, that can be trusted. And I mean trusted in terms of trust with the work and the direction we're going with our, you know, strategy, and also trust on stage that I'm going to do, you know, 200% and make sure everything is done impeccably well. And it also, that trickles down through my team, how they communicate with our clients in the various different aspects of our business. But no, I have never done any marketing really, other than I've got a website, we've got an Instagram. So I'm grateful. Have I had a shortage of clients? No. You know, we're usually declining a bucket of clients every single year because there just simply isn't the space in my itinerary to accommodate. So, you know, pre-COVID, I was booked about 2 years out. Now I'm booked about 1 year out. And I think that also is a representation and a culmination of COVID. Things are not the same as they used to be. They are just simply not. Folks are still having problems making decisions and trying to button things up. So I find that now I'm getting booked a little bit closer to the date. So where it used to be a year out was standard, now it's like it could be 4 or 5 months out.
Wow. Wow. Okay. So you just said something around how you're highly in demand and you turn clients away. And I'm sitting here thinking, like, do you just let those clients go? I'm also sitting here thinking about scale for your business. Specifically, you your work is tied to your time and to your labor, or is it not? Maybe you have something behind the scenes that I'm not aware of, but how have you thought about scaling in terms of your business? Because as an event auctioneer, that's what people are investing in you for. And it's hard to earn money in your sleep, so to speak, when you're performing live on a stage. So how have you thought about scaling for your business? And then I guess the second part of that question is, how have you thought about someday or doing something with the people that you are unable to serve at the time that they reach out to you? Or do you make a referral and get a commission off of that referral? Or is there something else going on?
So love this. And so we are scaling right now. So as a premium brand, I have a premium price tag. That's just the way it is, you know, and I stand by that. And I am not everybody's cup of tea. And that is okay. There are simply some charities that are not at that place in their development where they perceive investing my fee into their event. They're just not there. They may never be there. They may think that having the board chair do that work is perfectly fine. And that is completely okay. So that is the number one thing when it comes from to the business aspect is, you know, we as business owners, entrepreneurs, I always look at profit margin, ROI, and we are doing very well, very, very well on that front. When you become a performer, such as I am, we also get to the place where folks start saying there is no other lane. That is like saying, you know, I love Gord Downey and I will follow the Tragically Hip. And there simply is no other Gord Downey because there really is only one lane because it's me. It's the individual. So how we have looked at scaling the business and we're currently in this mode is that I have been developing more keynote speaking opportunities. I've been doing quite a bit of that since COVID, actually. So conferences, I did a lot of virtual speaking through COVID for boards of directors, for, you know, healthcare organizations, and really bringing that lane perspective. And what I also found happening during that time is that we all suffered during COVID. I had numerous hurdles, traumas happen, not just from my business completely shutting down, but, you know, we lost a grandbaby during COVID. I mean, it was one thing after another. And I started talking about my life a little bit more. I had held back on that. People know me as Lane the Auctionista, the shiny auctioneer, always fun, always hyped, always high octane, ready to bring it. But I found that people were wanting to learn more about me. And I started talking about me and my journey as a, you know, a non-binary person in the event space and how difficult that has been and how discriminatory it has felt over the years. And so, you know, we developed these keynotes and we've been, you know, I've been speaking at conferences and now we are launching in January a DEIB workshop called Impact Workshop, which is going to be offered to corporations, charities, any work teams that want to dive into that slice of DEIB, which is gender identity, fostering inclusive workspaces, understanding the language. And I am building in my own personal storytelling that aligns with the content. So that way, you know, I can share more of Lane and have my voice go beyond the ballroom on a Thursday, Friday, Saturday night. So for me, at this stage in my career, at this stage in my life, that's what's important for me is kind of, you know, I blazed the trail and broke the stereotype of the typical auctioneer, you know, non-binary, you know, All of it.
Just I think you redefined auctioneer, really. Like, you didn't even break the stereotype. I think you set a new milestone or a new level of what should be for events, which I think is even better. So,
well, thank you. And I appreciate that. And so now, you know, just as a response to the many audiences that I've spoken to and with, and, you know, speaking to youth, I just did a conference, the Ontario Student Leadership Conference, where I had a room full of grade 9 to 12 young leaders. And I was talking about gender identity and you know, the response saying, finally, we're getting this conversation going. And I know they have GSAs, but at the same time, I think there is also a different sense with this message coming from me. Someone who is a mature individual, someone who still has boundless energy, someone who has, you know, crushed the stereotypes and the barriers. And folks believe and see, you know, with representation, if Lane can do it, gosh, I think I could do it too.
I love that. Thank you for sharing all of that.
All right, Lane, we are back for another round of rapid fire questions. You ready to play?
Let's do it.
Okay, great. My first question is, what is your favorite caffeinated beverage?
Caffeinated, did you say? Well, I drink Nespresso every single day. That's all it. Right. Love That's it. I like a nice, thick, bold coffee.
Awesome. I was worried you were going to say something like, I don't drink caffeine, and I was going to really have to like shoot myself because your energy is infectious. And if you do that uncaffeinated, I'm going to be a little sad. Okay. What does a perfect day of rest look like for you?
Being with my wife, Sue, and riding our side-by-side ATV in mud holes.
Ooh, that sounds super fun. And then my last question is, what is your walk-on song?
James Brown, I Feel Good.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
Love it. Thank you for playing.
Thank you.
I want to ask, kind of going back to a little bit of the tactical in terms of what does it take for this next phase? Tell us a little bit about the team that you work with and behind the scenes of the business, especially as a personal brand, because as you've mentioned a team a couple times, and I think a lot of people struggle with how do I build a personal brand and not just what products do I sell to make it not just about me, but what kind of infrastructure do I need to create to do that as well?
So that started years ago, you know, as my business, I actually did the Auctionista work as a full-time gig while I was still a fundraiser. And then it came to the fulcrum point where it's like, okay, I'm going to make the flip and be an entrepreneur, the Auctionista full-time. And I was able to manage all of the aspects of my business. I mean, I have business background, so, you know, I could do my own bookkeeping. It's like I say, I did the contracts, washed the toilets, and did the books. You know, I did it all. But then there came a point where, you know, I had to figure out how do I scale effectively, because, you know, I wanted to make sure that I was building a very strong foundation for my business, financial foundation. I am a huge believer of having, you know, excess cash in the bank. That's how we get through COVID, kids. That's how we get through the tough times, understanding your cash flow. So the first person that I hired was an administrative assistant to just kind of take off all the contracts. I didn't have to do and create contracts anymore. At this stage of the business, all I focus on is performance and strategic consultation. That is it. I have a great team that handles everything else in the background. PR and a marketing company that handles all of that stuff, appearances. I have an incredible director of talent and operations who has been with me for years, who knows Lane the human inside and out. I have never felt so connected with somebody in my life that I have worked with. And we are in total alignment. And I am not a solo. I'm a lone wolf in terms of, you know, you're buying into Lane the brand and then the trust and integrity and value that Lane brings. But, you know, that is not a lone wolf building, right? I mean, that takes, you know, the elevator has to go up to the fifth floor, but it also has to go down to the ground floor too, right? And every floor in between. So we want to make sure that everything is in infrastructure and, you know, creative. And so, you know, it takes a while to get to that. You see, I'm struggling a little bit because there is so much that I could say. I'm trying to think about what can I say that's just concise and clear. But we could do it. We could do a half day discussion about business building. That's for sure.
Well, you are an inspiration. That is for sure. We like to ask every guest on our show, Lane, what is your business confession that maybe you have thought about or you say to yourself, but you haven't quite said out loud?
So this is big, that there's only one other person on earth that knows this. My business confession is that I have had a couple of instances where I've had a lovely dinner in my green room, and then I'm dressed to go on stage, probably 3-5 minutes out from going side stage, and the dinner didn't sit well, like not well.
Oh,
at all. In a short amount of time, I have to take my mic off, my pack off, blah, 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 do all the things I need to do to relieve myself of that said dinner so that I am ready to hit the stage. Because the last thing you want is to have a problem like that on stage.
Oh my goodness. I have never,
ever told anybody about that. And the one person who will be listening to this podcast knows exactly who they are. Who knows about that? Because we use the poop emoji.
Do you have like an emergency kit you take with you for like Pepto-Bismol or anything like that? Like, how do you prepare for that?
Well, it's so weird. I don't know what happened. Everything was fine before COVID. And then I stopped the green room meals for 2 years. And then boom,
and then it just doesn't sit.
And then I come back to this like commercial food. And it's like, what the heck is going on? Anyways, So emergency kit. I'll take that into consideration.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Or don't eat their food.
I mean, yeah, I'm thinking though, with as many performances and auctions as you host, statistically, like it's bound to happen.
It's bound to happen, right? Yeah. So, anyways, it has happened. And
now you powered through. Yeah, oh my gosh, you're such a professional.
Well, you know. Get the job done, right?
Oh my goodness. Lane, thank you so much for being part of the podcast and for sharing all of the wonderfulness that is you with our listeners. If they didn't know you, they will now. Where can they connect with you online?
Well, you know, if they want to check out the website, it's very easy, auctionista.ca, or follow us on IG at @_auctionista.
Amazing. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Jess. Thanks, Cindy. Great to be a part of it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you again for listening to the Confessions Podcast for nonprofit coaches and consultants. If you enjoyed today's episode, which I sure hope you did, you can show your support in one of three ways.
Number one, post a screenshot of this episode to your Instagram stories or LinkedIn profile and tag Cindy and I so we can repost you.
Number two, share this podcast with a fellow nonprofit coach or consultant.
And number three, leave a positive review on Apple Podcasts so we can continue to grow and reach new listeners.
And of course, make sure you subscribe so you can get the latest and greatest interviews as they drop every Thursday.
And to our fellow nonprofit coaching and consulting friends, remember, we're an open book and here to answer your burning biz questions.
See you next time.